With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
Girls, you are listening to another edition of Draft Talk version 4.0, and this week we have a very special guest on the line. We're going to talk a little Oklahoma, Texas prospects overall, but let's throw it first to Lance Zierlein, NFL and NFL draft analyst at thesidelineview.com. Lance, what's going on, man?
Wes, it's great to be here with you.
Yeah, Lance, I was talking to Pete Prisco last week, and I said it's weird talking to you guys when I have to host a show. I might be a little intimidated, not quite on par with you guys on that, but if we can get to just talking football, I think I can hold my own.
Yeah, that's all I do. I mean, I like just talking football. Whenever I have other guys on who are experts in whether it's fantasy football or the draft or NFL or college, you know, the best thing is when you have a good football guy on and you just start talking football, it always makes, to me, it makes for good radio and good television. So I have no doubt we'll do that here in this segment.
Yeah, and if you guys want, there's a bunch of links to check out Lance below. Hosts his own radio show out in Houston, a really good draft mind, someone that I follow and have a lot of respect for. But Lance, we'll start off. We want to talk some Oklahoma and some Texas football prospects. And we'll start with probably, in my opinion, the most interesting guy of the bunch, and that's Ronnell Lewis, the hybrid defensive end, outside linebacker from Oklahoma, a junior this year. What are your initial impressions from him, not only from this year, but from last year as well?
Well, I mean, the first thing that jumps off the page is just very athletic, very fast in space, and very physical. And he reminds me a lot of Sergio Kendall. When Kendall came out, a guy who, you know, you can see some ability as a pass rusher that needs to be developed. He needs to develop as a pass rusher. But, man, is he fast in space. Good fluid hips, can drop into coverage and be a factor, a plus big-time plus special teams guy as well, great in coverage. And to me, what I see is a guy with good quicks off the edge who can be, I think he can be, you know, I think the best spot for him, Wes, is going to be as a 3-4 outside backer. I think he could eventually develop into a Lamar Woodley type who can play on the Sam side, or he can play on the weak side as well. I think he could potentially be a weak side outside backer in a 3-4 where, you know, if he develops his skills as a pass rusher. I don't think he's just a pure speed guy. I don't think he's a pure, you know, a pass rush specialist. But I do think it's something that can develop. And I'm just very intrigued by his ability to play in space. And to me, I see some projections on him of second, third. I think that he's going to be a guy who is going to start getting some first round talk because he has that kind of athleticism. And I think that if he can prove that he can be a weak side rusher, to me, his stock could potentially jump into the first round.
Yeah, Lance, I think you're right. In the Sergio Kendall comparison, that's unique in a couple aspects. I think Lewis, I think he's a slightly better or a plus athlete compared to Kendall, and that's not taking anything away from Kendall. That's I really like Kendall's athleticism. But as you said, as a pass rusher, I see Lewis as a guy who can coil up into his stance. He has a good first step exploding off the football. I don't know if he's balanced slash fluid enough yet to drop the shoulder and turn around the edge, but he's got enough burst to get to the edge, and I don't see a ton of coordination on any type of counter. It gives me a little bit. I've seen him at least trying to use his hands, trying to use some kind of rip to get underneath, some kind of club arm over to get to the edge, but it looks like he's still figuring that out. But like you said, the one thing I highlighted at least three times when watching this guy, he's violent in all aspects of the game, whether he's playing the run or the pass or he's asked to close. He's violent, he plays fast, he plays strong, and that alone, I think, you can be a solid pass rusher in the NFL. If you play with a nasty motor, you have plus athletic ability, and you want to get after the passer, you'll find a way to get there. It's just how good of a pass rusher can he be at the next level?
Yeah, and I think we're going to start seeing some more teams. I mean, forget what Philly's doing defensively this year, but that the idea of the wide nine technique and playing your outside backer split a little bit more to give space to some of these guys with great first steps, like Trent Cole and Jason Babin are doing over there with Philadelphia. What that would allow Lewis to do on the next level is give him kind of a two-way go, outside or inside. And once you have that much space before that tackle can get his hands on you, you might have an inside move set up that way. I haven't really seen if Lewis has an effective spin move yet. But what I do like about him is Sergio Kendall is a great he was a good athlete, but a little bit stiff. I mean, kind of a straight-line athlete a little bit. And I think Lewis has a little bit more fluidity to his game. But like you said, I still think it's in the developmental stages, which is one of the things that I actually like. I still think he's very coachable at the 3-4 outside backer position. Could he play 4-3 in? Yeah, for the right team. But I think the best fit for him is going to be 3-4 on the next level.
Yeah, and you brought up him playing as a 43 end. To his credit, and I saw him last year, I had actual tape of him versus Nebraska. He held up pretty well on the edge as a down 43 guy against some of those big tackles from Nebraska. Plays with good at leverage, and he's got that burst off the ball and gets his hands up quickly. There's no real wasted motion. Then he'll pull the rug out. So he's a guy I think that has the ability. Granted, he's 244 right now. I think he can be an effective down player versus the run, but we want him to play to his strengths. And another thing, I think he's a linear rusher, Lance, at this stage, but you talked about his fluidity and his drop. You know, that's a situation where he's a linear rusher, not because maybe he has to do that, but because that's the only way he knows how. When we work him out and actually see the natural fluidity of him dropping off and changing directions, gives him the upside, and you keep hitting on the development of this guy. Just because he's not changing directions as a pass rusher at this stage doesn't mean he can't. Just means he doesn't know how or doesn't feel comfortable, or this is just the best way for him to get to the quarterback at this stage. So I like the upside and that aspect of his game as well, like you said.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's the one thing the draft, I think people who follow the draft, one of the things they get locked into is what they see on tape and not what the next level play is. Mm-hmm. A great example of that is I have my dad, who's a former offensive line coach, take a look at the three that he took a look at, Gabe Karimi and Costanzo and also Nate Solder. And I said, well, what do you think? And the Solder game I sent him was of, you know, the YouTube video that Aloysius put up of Cal, where Solder was just terrible. I mean, just terrible. And he told me one of the guys he liked best was Nate Solder. I said, why do you say that? He said, well, I'm not worried about it. He said, look, he's popping straight up. He's not getting enough depth on his sets. He's not setting vertically. And so what he could see were things that were coachable. He said what he has is the ability on the second level. He can do some things athletically that a lot of tackles can't do. When he did get his hands on guys, they had a hard time with him. And so a lot of evaluators will see the next level potential for a player that a lot of us have a hard time seeing. And I think that's one of the things I see with Ronnell Lewis is – he has certain physical traits that could lead to him being something more than he is right now. And you just touched on that, Wes. That doesn't mean he's there yet, and it doesn't mean he's going to develop that. But if you at least have those physical traits, there's that potential.
Yeah, and since we're in good conversation right now, Lance, I'll throw this last thing about Ronnell Lewis. A junior this year who it was pretty much a coin toss this summer whether he would be eligible to play for the Oklahoma Sooners. We was quote-unquote in an academic web is what we were led on to believe at Oklahoma, whether he would be eligible from an academic standpoint or not. If this guy, let's say, you know, he doesn't get flying colors from a character standpoint, from a work off the field standpoint, even work off the on the field standpoint, you know, how much does that, because you have a guy, a nice piece of clay you could mold into a masterpiece, but if there's questions of how much does this guy want to mold himself, what do you do with the prospect then?
Well, I mean, it depends on the prospect. It depends. What you just talked about, if there's some questionable character off the field, but it doesn't pertain to his football character, well, then obviously that's, you know, then you're basically looking at the Patriots trading out of the first round and targeting a guy like that at about 36. I mean, that would be classic Bill Belichick. What you threw in there, though, was work ethic and things like that. Well, obviously now you're starting to look into football character. If you start adding up football character and character off the field as potential issues, then to me, like, the highest you can draft a guy like that would be somewhere in the mid-second, and that's just based purely on physical ability, and that would also depend on where you are as an organization. Do you mind missing on that guy? How many draft picks you have? So obviously, it would, you know, you kind of have to look at each situation individually, but I don't mind some off-the-field issues if you think it's maturity issues, as long as the football character is high. If you start adding – questionable football character along with off the field character, well, then I typically would take a pass on guys like that, because there's just the floor is too low on guys like that.
Yeah, and I'm just speculating here, Lance, but when I watch play on tape and you see the violence that he brings, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but if you want to, for the listeners out there, you type in this guy's name and he's a YouTube phenomenon on special teams, you got to have some high football character to want to bring that type of pain and physicality on special teams, play in and play out. So I don't think football character is going to be a problem with him. Just watching him off the tape, off the field stuff, you know, that'd be where I end up questioning at some point. Moving on, Lance, we're going to go to the defensive side of the ball. And one guy who's been a bit of an enigma to me up until this stage, or sometimes I watch him on tape, especially last year where I liked him, I saw the development and I saw the upside where this guy could be. Watch him this year, bit of a ho-hum prospect up until this point. And that's Keaston Randall, the defensive tackle, former five-star kid, 6'5", 305, plays inside for the Longhorns. Have you had a chance to look at him much, Lance?
Yeah, I have. And honestly, because he's been on the radar since he got to Texas, he's been a guy that I know Longhorn fans are very excited about, highly regarded. You know, I think what you're seeing now is he is who he is now, Wes. The guy that you're seeing now is pretty much what you're looking at. I know regional scouts have a fifth, sixth on him right now. He's got the size that you like. It's 6'4", about 305. But he's not a great pass rusher. I don't think he has the type of quick, to be a legitimate three technique, a guy who can get into gaps and rush on first and second downs, because you have to be able to rush the passer on any down now. That's just the way the NFL is played. I think more than likely you're going to see teams take a look at him as a potential 3-4 end. I think because of what he brings to the table physically, you're going to see some things that you like, but what you're not going to see is a great pass rusher. Well, as a 3-4 end, you don't have to necessarily be great. You just have to be physical, and I think you'll see a team look at him as a 3-4 end, but I do think that his stock has fallen steadily as his seasons have progressed. He just isn't disruptive enough, doesn't make enough plays, and is not as dominant on the collegiate level as you'd like to see. And I think what you're kind of the way you just alluded to him as a ho-hum prospect, I think that's basically what you're seeing with Keaston Randall, kind of a late-round prospect who may be moved over to a 3-4.
Yeah, and you know, Lance, when I watched this guy as a junior, he was one guy who I circled that I knew it would either dramatically improve for him as a senior, or we'd see a guy that you're saying, why isn't the light going on yet for this guy? And I think for a guy who's 6'4", 305, if he's asked to press gaps inside, one gap and get up the field, I think he's got enough of a get-off and enough length to fend off blocks and be a threat inside for a one-gap team that wants him just to get up the field. But it looks like he's almost trying to prove that he's a better pass rusher than he is, trying to show some type of lateral movements to disengage. And as soon as he does that, he pops upright. He doesn't do a great job shooting his hands, gaining leverage, so he gives up leverage. And once he gives up leverage and he pops upright, it's tough to play powerful and it's tough to play balance. And he's really easy to stick to and stay engaged to through the play. So if he doesn't win with his first step as a pass rusher, there's not a ton that he gives you. I like the idea of him playing outside as a 34 guy, even though more and more of these teams want these 6'2", 6'3", stouter guys that have a little one-gap ability and some pass rush ability as well. But I think that's pretty much the only place. Maybe a team like the Bears or the Colts could see him in a one-gap scheme inside. But again, if he doesn't win with the get-off, there's nothing really he gives you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's to me, I think of other interior linemen who came in with fanfare from Texas who just kind of petered out, and that would include Rod Wright and also Frank Okam. Frank, of course, just I don't think he really loved the game of football. I don't think there was that burning desire in college or when he was with the Texans. And then, you know, the Rod Wright, Rod was just a little bit overrated and then ended up having an injury to contend with. Now, the flip side of that is Lamar Houston was a guy who was a much better athlete, I think, than Keaston Randall when it came to get off the snap. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why he's had some success in Oakland.
No, I agree. And when you watch those two, and when I say Keaston has a good get-off, you know, I'm looking for a guy his size, but it's not, I wouldn't call it even above average and an NFL get-off. I'd say for his size,
exactly.
I'd say it's, you know, slightly above average NFL, but overall, if you're looking at all defensive tackles, I would say it's very blah average, to be honest.
Right.
Going on to the linebackers, I'm glad we agreed on that. And this is where, if we're going to have any debate here, Lance, I think it'll be between these two guys. So I'll throw to you first. We're going to talk Emmanuel Acho, and we're going to talk Keenan Robinson. First off, just tell me who you like more and why overall.
One guy is a legitimate prospect who could be better on the next level. One guy, to me, is an undrafted free agent. And I think Emmanuel Acho is an undrafted free, and I think Keenan Robinson is a legitimate second, third, who will be a will and a 4-3. I am not a fan of Acho's. I don't think he plays well in space. I don't think he has the speed to play on the next level, and I just don't think he's a good enough athlete. Where, for me, Keenan Robinson, not the best downhill player, but a guy who has plus coverage ability, a guy I think who could give you some scheme flexibility, and I think he's a guy who can be a pretty good pass rusher if used in the right scheme as a blitzer from that will position or maybe even a nickel situation. So I'm a fan of Keenan Robinson, not a fan of Acho's. How does that jive with what you were going to say?
Yeah, well, that's perfect, Lance, because I'm the flip-flop on this. I'm a bigger fan of Acho, and I'm not as big a fan as Robinson. And I agree that Robinson is the better overall athlete, but when I see Robinson, I see more of a linear guy who doesn't find the football nearly as well as Acho. Now, the thing with Acho, is he a plus run guy inside when he has to take on blocks? No, but I think he does it well enough. I think, is he a good sideline to sideline guy? No, but I think he does it good enough to sniff plays. And I think the instincts of him consistently finding the football, that's the one thing I like the most about Acho. Now, I'm not taking either these guys until, I'll say, the fourth round range, fifth round range, somewhere in there. But overall, I just like the instincts, and I think Acho's a little more natural of a football player, and that's why I give him the advantage over Robinson. But I still think the higher upside guy is Robinson. I just don't ever see him hitting it. That's my big concern with him.
Yeah, you could be right on that. I mean, I still think he has some physical talent. We talked earlier about that the need to have certain physical characteristics and traits to be able to reach that next level. But football instinct should never – ever be discounted, because that is just that's the number one spot where evaluators second guess themselves on, is they see a guy with great instincts that don't match up physically with the instincts, and they start to doubt themselves and doubt their opinions of those players. And how many times, Wes, have we seen guys with the football instincts end up becoming the NFL players, like the Wes Welkers, where scouts say, oh, I wish I would have stuck with my grader. I wish I would have argued this guy higher. I wish I wouldn't have been talked off of my opinion of him.
Yep, no, that's exactly it. And with Acho, that was something I liked. And I honestly, when I came into the year, I didn't even want to like him because I wasn't a big fan of Sam Acho. But right. this was a guy who I just thought, you know, he's your solid Eddie, that, you know, he's a high character guy, a good worker, comes from a good family. And I just thought he gave me enough, and that's why I really liked him. But again, Keenan Robinson, you know, he's going to get the build at the combine. He's going to run the faster time. He's going to be the better looking overall athlete. It just, again, when you get to these linebackers, though, Lance, it's all about the situation that you find yourself in and the opportunity that you get. And can you take advantage of that opportunity pretty quickly?
There's no question. And based on what I know about who you might be asking me about with Texas, one of the reasons they probably got beat by as much as they did is the fact that we're probably out of Texas Longhorn draft prospects already.
Yeah, to be honest, you know, I would have sent some offensive prospects to you, but the way that offensive line was feasted on this past week. I'm kind of a fan of the center there, Snow, to a degree as a late-round guy, but outside of that, there's not too many seniors to talk about, to be honest.
No, Snow is a late-round guy. Snow is much like last year with their tackles, I mean, with their left tackle. I think he's a late-round guy, but that's one of the problems is they're just really not recruiting the best athletes possible on the offensive line. They're going kind of an outdated mode, and they're not able to run in space, and they're not getting the type of players they need to. And you look over at Oklahoma, I'll give you an example. Jarvis Jones, the guy who I think could end up, I know he's a seventh-round undrafted type of player right now based on the fact he's coming off of an ACL, and he just made it back for Oklahoma. He played at LSU at first. He went over to Oklahoma. My brother coached him in high school. There are some character concerns there, and to me he may be a little bit of a con man. I don't know. He has been in the past. But he's a pretty good athlete, and he's the type of guy that Texas, you know, from an athletic standpoint, he's that type of guy that that the Longhorns need to be recruiting him. We'll see if that changes with Brian Harsin as the offensive coordinator now.
Yeah, when was the last time they've had an athlete that played tackle out there?
Lance? It's been a long time. Tony Hills.
Okay,
Tony Hills,
yeah,
a good athlete.
Okay.
But that's, you know, you've had Mike Williams, who's a monster. Tony Hills is a pretty good athlete. But other than that, they really haven't. It's the offensive line has been an issue for them. Their running game in general has been an issue for them, where it's all had to, you know, where they haven't been able to just line up and come downhill after people.
Well, who's the last big-time running back that's come out of there?
Well, it's Seth Benson.
Seth Benson? I mean, but still, you're thinking it should be just coming through the pipeline with the athletes
you
that come
think.
Out of high school football
Benson,
in Texas.
Well, Jamal Charles is a better pro than he was a college player.
Yeah.
Jamal Charles, they didn't take advantage. Jamal Charles became kind of an also-ran. They didn't do a good job of taking advantage of him. And the running games, the running backs the last 3 years, I mean, they missed on – they didn't recruit Quiz Rogers. They didn't recruit LaMichael James the way they should have. They passed on too many players who were, you know, who were good running backs, and they went after, quite frankly, just misses. Fozzie Whitaker is an average college back at best. Now, the kid they have now, Malcolm Brown, has a chance to be pretty good, but he's just a freshman, so we'll see. But their running game, the reason their running game has been a problem is because the talent has not been what it needs to be, and Greg Davis, really, their former offense coordinator, he and Mac Brown really clashed about the running game and their philosophies regarding the running game.
Yeah, well, at least they can throw the ball all over the place, right, as we've seen these last couple of weeks. Just a stellar passing.
Yeah, they can try. They can try.
Lance, I want to thank you for joining me, man. Can you tell the listeners, first off, all of the many places they can find you and the links below?
Sure. You can go to bigshow790.com. I'm on from 7 to 11 Central Time every morning, talking a lot of football. TheSidelineView.com, I handle most of the NFL writing, with some fantasy football and NFL draft sprinkled in, but John Harris does a brilliant job of writing about college football. And you can find me on the Z Report, which is at cron.com, the Houston Chronicles website. I have my own football-related blog, the Z Report, and also on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein, Z-I-E-R-L-E-I-N. And that about wraps it up for me.
That's about it. Well, you can find all the links to get to Lance below. Does a great job out there in Houston. Knows his Texas Longhorns, knows those Texans as well, and someone I definitely recommend listening to. So, Lance, thanks again for joining me.
Appreciate it. Wes had a good time. Anytime.
Not a problem. And, yeah, hopefully we can get you on again at some point. But, again, this is Draft Talk version 4.0. We'll be on again next week, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, and hope you'll be able to join in. Thanks.